Praise God. Well, tonight I'm going to be doing some teaching, so I'd encourage you to grab a Bible, grab a pencil. If you don't come to church with a pen, I understand that, because a lot of people never do. I would never, ever go to church without a pen. My mother always comes to church with a pen. My mother will be 93 in July, and she's still learning. What's your excuse? Think about that. My mother, well, I remember a few years ago, Mum, you remember we lived in Greenville. One Monday, I walked into the garage. It was a beautiful morning. You were sitting out there at a table and chair, and you had your Bible open and notes from the sermon that was preached by Pastor Ernie the day before, and she was underlining her Bible from the sermon the day before. This wasn't that long ago. She was young then. She was only about 85. So I want to encourage you, if you don't have that kind of attitude towards the Word of God, you could stop growing. I'd like to remind you that the vision of the vineyard is indeed manifold, but one of the things that we are a hospital. So therefore, as a hospital, we want to make sure that you are healed, spirit, soul, and body. But you will not get healed, whether it be, can we have that light on, please, in the middle? Right over your head, Elaine. Right. You won't get healed, whether it be your spirit, your soul, or your body, by emotions. You're only going to get healed by faith. So therefore, it's important for us, if we want to be a whole person, if we want to get out of the hospital of life and begin to move into strength, then you need to have faith to bring you into that place. And so the second thing, after the church is a hospital, the hospital is an army. Now, to be part of the army, you have to sign up. I'd like to remind you that we do not have any draft in our country, and we do not have any draft or draft. I think draft sounds better. In the army of God, you have to make a decision to sign up. And remember, when you're in if you're in the army, that means you're going through a boot camp. If you're going through boot camp, that means you've got to do lots of things you don't like. You've got to learn to get fit. You've got to learn to take orders. You've got to learn to work as a team. You've got to learn to take risks. You've got to learn to clothe yourself a certain way. That is what the armor of God is talking about. And then also, the body of Christ is a school. Now, many of us left school at 16 or 17 or 18 years old, and we left school. And we quit learning. And we stopped reading. And we stopped allowing ourselves to soak in learning. And I want to say this. If you're not growing, you are dying. There's only two phases of life. You're either growing or you're dying. There's no plateau. Don't think that there's any plateauing. That doesn't exist. A plant is either growing or a plant is dying. An animal is either growing or an animal is dying. A human being is either growing or it's dying. A spirit is either growing or it's dying. A soul is either growing or it's dying. So I want to encourage you that we're going to be doing, for the next several weeks, we're going to do a lot of teaching. So this is an element that I want to cover. I'm going to Zambia at the end of this month, and I want to do some teaching before I leave. So please get your thinking caps on, okay? I don't want you just staring at me, looking at me blank. It'd be impossible for you to remember everything I'm going to teach. There's not one of you that smart. Not even my mum. So therefore, I want to encourage you to think about this. You know, as you come in the next several weeks, bring a pen, bring a notepad. I want to be talking tonight about true faith. I want to be talking about true faith. And I realized the other day how many Christians do not know what faith is. They've been going to church for years, but do not know what faith is. We had a friend here a few months ago, Pastor Ephiel. Who was here for Pastor Ephiel's ministry that Thursday evening? It was awesome, right? Please, if you want to get a great message on faith, then please order that CD from Pastor Ephiel, just on faith. Everybody in the tape ministry knows which tape it is. Okay, we're going to start by going to Proverbs chapter 4. We're going to need a very quick man. We have Daniel up there on the... Is that Daniel up there? Good, he's the man for the job. I'm going to be reading from the New King James Bible for this whole time. And if you need a Bible, there should be one in the chair in front of you. And if you haven't got a Bible at home, please take that one with you. You are welcome to it. We will replace it. The book of Proverbs, chapter 4. It begins in verse 1. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. I need people to respond a little bit to this. So therefore, if I ask you to repeat some words after me, I'd appreciate if you do, just to get a little bit of a flow going, just to make sure that it might help keep people awake. If you're not used to just sort of being in class, the more you participate, the less likely you are to get bored. I don't know if I'm a boring preacher or not. Most people think I'm not, but the reality is this could be a little chewy. So I just want to just keep you informed of this. Give attention to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender, and the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me also, and he said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commands, and live. Now, I'm sure most of us here were actually not taught physically by a father. Would that be true? Most of us didn't have a father to teach us the things of God. Most of us didn't have a wise father, a Bible-believing father that would keep teaching us these things. So therefore, many of us missed out in this in life, did we or didn't we? I never had that experience. Most of us didn't have that experience. And so it's so important that we realize that the Bible says that you have many teachers, but you don't have many fathers. Now, I'm not trying to be anybody's father here. I'm not trying to do that. But what I am trying to say is the Bible does say, I write to you children. In the Epistle of John, it says, I write to you children because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write to you young men because you're strong and the word abides in you and you have overcome the wicked one. I'd like to remind you, young men, that if you are struggling in life, it is purely for one reason and one reason only. You do not have enough word in you. That's it. That's the end of the conversation. Everything else is without excuse. The Bible is very clear. I write to you, young men, because you're strong and the word abides in you and you have overcome the wicked one. Therefore, there is no excuse that we cannot overcome, because if young men can it, then us boomers certainly can. Then he says, I write to you fathers because you've known me from the beginning. I write to you fathers because you've known me from the beginning. I'd like to remind you, I'm not speaking to the person sitting next to you, by the way. I'm speaking to you. Okay, thanks, Elaine. Glad you're here. Here we go. Proverbs 4, verse 5. This is the point. Get wisdom. Get understanding. I'd like to say I've never yet met the person who went to college and got a degree in wisdom. Did anybody here? Correct me if I'm wrong. You know, I went to Harvard, got a degree in wisdom. I went to SUNY New Paltz, got a degree in wisdom. Not. We went there and got a bunch of knowledge based on doubt, unbelief, no absolutes. In other words, we got most of the degrees that are taught in most colleges in the world today are based on they have a degree in anarchy. How's that for a statement? They're a degree in anarchy. In other words, read as much as you can about as many people's opinion, then question it all, then live whatever way you want. That's anarchy. Okay. So therefore, let me say this again. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget, nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her. What are we talking about? We started talking about a father. Now we're talking about her. So the subject here is very clearly wisdom and understanding. Wisdom and understanding is the subject here. And listen to what it says about it. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. She will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Do you love wisdom? Do you love understanding? Here we go, verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Numero uno. In the Bible, the first thing in the life of faith is wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. Not prosperity, not worship, not praise, not prayer, not nothing. Nothing comes before wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Somebody say, get understanding. It doesn't say get money. It doesn't say get rich. It doesn't say get smart or some other dumb movie. It says get understanding. In all of your getting, get understanding. So we should be spending our life getting understanding, because it is what we need. And then it says, exhort her. Exhort who? Wisdom and understanding. Exhort her, and she will promote you. She will promote you. How many of you go to the boss and argue that you deserve to be promoted? That's a waste of time. It's an exercise in futility. If you really exhort wisdom and understanding, you will be promoted. Promise you. Because promotion comes from the Lord. Subscription expires. Remind me later. Gee, who stuck that on my computer? Here we go. At least I understand how to stop it. Exhort her and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. Oh, my kids don't respect me. Hello? Your kids don't respect you because you haven't been embracing wisdom and understanding. When you embrace wisdom and understanding, you will be honored. Very quiet in here tonight. Am I doing okay? Yeah. I'm just like warming up here, you know? Thanks, Tony. Stick around. You and your wife. She laughs good and you encourage good. Here we go. Here with this. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace and a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Now, how many people in the Christian world are praying for grace? You can't pray for grace. Grace is an understanding. Grace is an understanding. Why do you think 2 Peter chapter 1 says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of him who has called you by glory and virtue? The reality is don't get on your knees and say, oh Lord, I need more grace. It's not, you just need to get wisdom and understanding and you will have a crown of grace. Are you with me tonight? Okay, wonderful Jesus. So this is the principle of what I'm teaching. Now what I want to teach tonight is the fact that one of the biggest problems, we know the scripture in the book of Timothy, it says, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of? God has not given you a spirit of fear, or timidity, some translations say, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Sound mind. Now, I want to say this, I've not met too many people in my life who are really fearless. Fear is not of God. Okay? So whatever your fear is, God didn't give it to you. So if you have a fear of public speaking, guess where it didn't come from? It is not a gift of God. You know, the gifts of the Spirit are, you know, tongues, healing, fear. It's not in there, you know what I'm saying? One of the gifts of the Spirit is faith. Now, most of you have heard this definition before, but I will say it again and again. My definition of faith is something you believe is going to happen. Excuse me. Something you cannot see, but you believe is going to happen. Say it again. Faith. Something you cannot see, but you believe is going to happen. Definition of fear. Something you cannot see, but you believe is going to happen. Definition of faith. Something you cannot see, but you believe is going to happen. Definition of fear. Something you cannot see, but you believe is going to happen. Are you with me tonight? So you are either under one or the other spirits. One is from God, and one isn't. This day choose. I recommend choose life. So therefore, if you are afraid of something, you know it is an ungodly spirit intimidating you to keep you from a sound mind, which is where wisdom and understanding live. Are we okay tonight? If I get rolling on this, it could be dangerous. Because this is a subject when I want to get sometimes a bit butt-kicking mad about how the devil has blinded us for centuries. Okay, the first thing we're going to talk about on the subject of true faith. Let me say this. If you want to, the apostolic prayer, Ephesians 1:9, Ephesians 1:18, Philippians 1:9, Colossians 1:9, it talks about that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. You may be filled with the knowledge of his will. So therefore, understanding is something you should pray for because it's a spirit. Let's all say, understanding is a spirit. If you don't move your lips, I will point to you. So I'm in one of them moods. Let's do it again. Understanding is a spirit. Right. So therefore, if you do not understand, if you're one of these people that's been deceived all your lives, that you say you cannot remember scriptures, remember, that is a lie. You've been deceived. It's a good time to repent. Don't ever say that again. And now is the time for us to begin to move into the spirit of understanding. Are we okay? Let's do it together. Let's do it corporately. Let's encourage one another. Let's make sure, I want to tell you this, faith, absolutely, 100%, understanding God and the wisdom of God, 100% is not an academic ability. Can we nail that now? I don't care how dumb you were at school. I don't care how much of a high school dropout you were. I don't care if you dropped out of grade school. Understanding God is a spirit, and that spirit can be fed. Jesus said in John 6:63, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. Hallelujah. Therefore, if you get the word of God in you, then your spirit can be full of the word, full of faith, full of understanding, full of wisdom, and the fruit of that will be promotion and grace. Are we okay? I think it's good preaching. Thanks. Hebrews 11:3 says this. By faith we understand. Let's say it together. By faith we understand. After me. By faith we understand.
By faith we understand.
Let's say it again. By faith we understand.
By faith we understand.
Oh, you got that? By faith we understand. So don't sit there trying to fathom out what I'm saying. Sit there and believe you will. Did you understand that? This is going to be fun. Believe you can understand. By faith you understand. Anybody here speak in tongues other than me? Raise your hand quickly. Okay, quite a lot of us have to pray for the rest of the next month. Well, when I speak in tongues, I've no idea what I'm saying. The Bible says he who speaks in tongues does not speak to man, he speaks to God. No man understands him. However, it says in the spirit he speaks mysteries. So it's one of those things, I don't understand it, but I do it by faith. When I prophesy, I don't know what I'm doing. The Bible says that him who prophesy according to his proportion of faith. Therefore, I prophesy by faith. Are we okay? When somebody prays for the sick, who told me today, Dawn, are you in here, Dawn? Dawn at the back, bless her heart. She told me about she's a nurse, one of the children that she'd been praying for had between 20 and 40 seizures a day. Am I right? And, sorry, we got a confirmation here. Daughter's here, so you got it, bud. Long story short, they've been praying for her and everything's been going on. The child now has no more seizures. Now, do you understand that? Right, but by faith we understand that Jesus healed us. By faith I understand it. With my academic ability, which ain't that bad, I don't understand it. So by faith I'm going to heaven. By faith I speak in tongues. By faith I prophesy. By faith I pray for the sick. By faith I pray. I do it by faith. And I want to encourage all of you to realize this. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Now don't sit there and tell me that anybody understands that. One day God said, let there be. And there was. Now of course a lot of people say, in the beginning God said, let there be a bang. But nobody was there to witness it, so I'm going with this story. By faith we understand that the world were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. I know that's a bit of a mouthful. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made by things which were visible. In other words, when God makes something, he doesn't go to Lowe's. He says, let there be. Are you with me? Now, if you can't believe that, I won't. So what is true faith? First of all, by my wife's encouragement, oh, by the way, I have permission to stand down here tonight. The first thing what I want to say about faith is I want to say what faith is not. Okay? Because it's amazing how many Christians think what faith is when faith is not that. First thing, faith is not blind. It is not blind. It is not blind. Because the eyes of my understanding are enlightened. His word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It is not blind. Oh, it's just blind faith. No, it ain't. I'm not as dumb as you look. Faith is another thing. Faith is not ignorance. Hosea 4:6, please. Hosea 4:6. Faith is not ignorance. A lot of people think that people need faith as a crutch. All right. I think I'm past the crutch stage. I'm on the gurney stage, personally. That without faith, I'm lost, man. I realize that. But look what Hosea 4:6 says. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Let's say it. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Think about that. Destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And they're not talking about high school. Didn't have them in those days. In fact, do you know that school isn't mentioned once in the Bible, but that's not the point. It's interesting how the whole world can be wrong and nobody says anything about it. You know, nowhere in the Bible does it say send your kids to school, but we all do. Just to let you know that, that's not the point. Okay, here we go. Are you enjoying the back of my head? Thanks, Tone. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you for being a priest for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. That's got to be one of the biggest punches in the face God ever offered. Huh? That's got to be one of the biggest kicks in the pants God ever offered us. Huh? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And what is the fruit of that destruction? Your kids. Turn that off, Daniel. Got some funny faces down here tonight. I really want you to see what true faith is and what so much of what we've called faith isn't. Right, it's not ignorance. 3, faith is not foolish or presumptuous. Faith is not foolish or presumptuous. Read the book of Galatians. It says, oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? What an obvious, you know, I don't want to get into that. It's a bit too much. But it is not foolish or presumptuous. In other words, if you jump off a building and think God's going to catch you, or if you think that you are too lazy to get a job, so you're going to go quit your job and trust God, that is foolishness or presumption, one or the other, probably both. All right? If you think, I'm trusting God, I don't need insurance on my car, then fine, you just go ahead and trust God. But that's foolishness. All right? That's foolishness. That's not faith. Faith is only believing a promise of God and knowing that he will fulfill it. Are you with me? Are you with me? Right. You got to have a word. When God speaks to you, if what God is speaking to you does not line up with the word, then trust me, it's not faith. Okay, this one I like. 4, faith is not a feeling. It's not a feeling. If you are going by your feelings, you will be deceived. Let's go to Galatians, whatever your name is, chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. Oh, is it 18 as well? Faith is not a feeling. Galatians 5, 17. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. Now, where are your feelings? Your feelings. Now, do you know what the greatest enemy of your faith is? Let me tell you right now. Your emotions. Your feelings and your senses. They're an enemy of your faith. They're an enemy of your faith. The spirit and the flesh are a battle with each other. So what you feel like, you know, how many people don't feel like going to work today? How many people don't feel like going to church? How many people don't feel like doing that? Don't feel like they're led by their senses? It is the war of the flesh. So look what it says. For the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another. So that you do not do the things you're with. Okay, we move on. So first thing, faith is not blind. It is not ignorance. Faith is not foolish or presumptuous. It is not a feeling. It is not an emotion. Remember when Jesus said, when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard with many words. Matthew 6, remember that? Oh, Lord, have you ever been in those prayer meetings? Oh, Lordy, 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 Lordy. Oh, glory, 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 glory. If you haven't been in one of those prayer meetings, thank God. But if you have, we will have a deliverance meeting afterwards. Honestly, some people think that this is faith. Oh, God! No, that's emotion. That's an enemy of your faith. Are you with me? God does not answer emotion. He doesn't answer emotion. You have to bring your emotions into captivity. You have to bring your emotions under the authority of God if you're going to see God move by faith. Why is it so important to have faith? The Bible says in Hebrews, no, it ain't. I forget where it is now. That's all right. It says without faith, somebody knows what that is? It's Hebrews. Hebrews 11, yeah. Hebrews 11, 6, without faith, check this out. It is impossible to please God. Now, listen to this. Guys, I need you to hear this. Please, men. If you don't go to work by faith every day, if you don't go to work by faith every day, then the paycheck you bring home cannot please God, therefore cannot please your wife or your children, therefore, what are you doing? Did you all hear that? This is why living by faith is so important. This is why understanding that God wants to get involved with His kingdom in every area of your life so that you're pleasing God. And if you're pleasing God, you're pleasing your spouse. If you're pleasing God, you're pleasing your children. If you're pleasing God, you're pleasing every relationship you're in. That's why we have to understand faith. All right, faith is not an emotion. Faith is not positive thinking. Go to Romans 8. Verse 5 and 6. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, for to be carnally minded is death. To be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That's why the book of Colossians chapter 3 says, if you then be risen with Christ, set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. For you are dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So I want to encourage you. The carnal mind. Now, let me say this. The carnal mind is essential if you're an engineer, or a doctor, or a lawyer, or a builder, or a nurse, or a teacher, or whatever you are. The carnal mind is to communicate with carnal things, natural things, right? So therefore, the Bible does not say that be transformed by the removal of your mind. It means to be transformed by the renewal of your mind. So we need our minds to be renewed. Therefore, we do need to go to college so we can learn how to communicate in this world and how to prosper in this world. Are we okay? But don't get confused between that mind and the mind of Christ that gets to know God. That's why the Bible says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Who wrote that? Paul the Apostle, possibly the most academically brilliant man of his day. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel, who was unquestionably the greatest teacher in the Hebrew world of that day. Paul was a brilliant man. He was a straight A. He was a double A, double first from Oxford. He was a brilliant man, straight A, Harvard, Yale. The guy had everything go for him. And what did he say about it? I count it all dung. I count it all refuse for the excellency of the knowledge of God in Christ Jesus. So therefore, don't go and get your brain and just throw it away. Remember Ravi Shakariat, I think his name is. You know, the name of his ministry is Let My People Think. For God's sake, think. But the reality is, that thinking brain, that engineering brain that I used to have, couldn't grasp the knowledge of God. Not at all. Every day, how many of you at school went to school every day and say, Our Father is on heaven, but then I'm not going to become the one within earth, and Him gives us our daily bread. Am I the only one who used to do that every day of their life? Right, what good did it do you? Nothing, because you said it with a carnal mind for 20 years. It did you no good. And then when you got born again and your spirit man began to speak to your mind and you allowed this mind to be in you that was in Christ Jesus, suddenly the first time I got on my knees and said, Oh, Father, which art in heaven, bam, it was a different world. Even though I'd said it hundreds and thousands of times, now my spirit man was communicating with me. What a difference. Am I talking too fast? Get a CD. Faith. It's not a feeling. It's not an emotion. It is not positive thinking. Here we go. Faith is not a formula, okay? I can't teach you a formula about faith. It's not a magic wand. It's not something that you need in an emergency. It is not 911. It's a lifestyle. If you are not building up your faith daily, when you really need it, where is it? You see, because life ain't fair. Anybody realize that yet? Life ain't fair, and because life isn't fair, actually, that's not true. You know, I've been saying that for years. I just suddenly realized. God, one of the promises of God is in this life you'll have tribulation. A promise. God says, listen, I promise you, I'll take you to heaven, I'll heal you, I'll provide all your needs, and I'll give you a hard time. He didn't say it'd make you sick. He didn't say he'd give you a divorce. He didn't say he'd take your kids. He didn't say that. But he said you will have tribulation. He said life will be tough. But his grace is sufficient for you. And how do you get grace? From his wisdom and from his understanding. And everything causes us to continue to grow. I just want to encourage you, folks. I don't know about you, but when I got saved, I was under the impression that that was the end of my problems. That was the end of my worries. I didn't know. And then when the wheels fell off, I didn't know where to go because nobody had taught me true faith. In this world, you'll have tribulation. Hopefully, for your righteousness' sake. It's not a magic wand. It's not a wish list. This is not a letter to Santa. That was quite good. Okay, and the last thing I want to say what faith is not, and I'm going to take a couple of minutes on this. Forgive me, but I'm going to get pointed on this if I haven't already. Faith is not a superstition. Oh, I'll keep my fingers crossed. Good luck. Oh, knock on wood. Oh, there's a black cat. Oh, mate, when are you going to get delivered from superstition? Get delivered from it. I mean, the word luck comes from the word Lucifer. You all know that, right? So, you know, oh, good luck. Yeah, get knotted. You stick and keep your rotten Lucifer. Thanks, keep it to yourself. Wish me good luck. The whole world believes in luck. And you know luck doesn't exist? Luck actually doesn't exist. Oh, he won the lottery, he's so lucky. No, it wasn't. It was one chance in 280 million, and he's the one. That's not luck. It's statistics. It's probabilities. Don't shake your head. There's no such thing as luck. Oh, the ball bounced awkwardly. No, it hit a rat on the floor. Oh, the ball hit the bar and went in. Yeah, the bar's round. So it'll either go that way, or that way. And one out of three times, it'll go that way. One out of three times, it'll go that way. And one out of three times, it'll go that way. It's probabilities. And we call it luck. You got more confidence in luck, for God's sake. I hate luck. Especially because it doesn't exist. If any of you could give me the definition of luck afterwards, I want to hear it. Give me the definition of luck and prove to me it exists. Okay, where was I? I was covering what faith is not. So I'm going to take a few minutes. I tell you, do you know why I'm doing this? Because unbelief, do you realize that your unbelief cannot change God? Do you all know that? Whether you believe or not doesn't matter spit to God. He's not in heaven going, oh God, I don't believe it. You know, the Bible even says that your unbelief will not change the promise of God. Do you know how many smart Alecks there are walking this earth that actually have God keeping their ears apart? That they've actually taken God and reduced him to a few pounds of gray brain matter and think they're cleverer than God. Honestly. Of course, we all did before we got saved. Because whatever we thought faith was. Okay, now let's just do quickly. I can't cover all this tonight. Nah, if I rush. Let's just quickly do. Is anybody getting anything yet? Yes. All right, one. Faith is of the heart. Faith is of the heart. Romans 10, 6, please. Through 10. Romans 10, 6 through 10. Thanks, Daniel. I'm still in the New King James Bible. Romans 10, 6. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Does everybody know that faith has a language? It has a language. It has a... For instance, the word can't or cannot is not in the language of faith. Excuses are not in the language. If you have an excuse, you are a victim. Did everybody get that? You see, because victors don't have excuses. Only victims do. Are we okay? Oh, I can't do that because of my upbringing. Help me there. You don't know what a rough life I had. You know what a rough life Joseph had? You want a rough life David had? You want to run a rough life that Peter had, Paul had? They all believed. Right? How many great men and women in the Bible were born of harlots and all kinds of stuff? And they had a real rough life. Oh, you don't know the trouble I've seen. I know I don't. That's why Jesus pitched up. So he could, anyway. You see what I'm saying? I mean, I did it for years as a codependent. For years I lived under the guilt and the shame and the condemnation of my own self-inflicted cannots. The curse of cannots. That's how, doesn't the Bible say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? All right, well, you know, help me on that one. Are you ready with Romans 10? Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ from above, or who will descend in the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? What does faith say? The word is near you. Where? And? How many of us are still waiting for God to do what he's asking us to do? Right? If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, or Matthew 11, 23, 24, if you say to the mountain, or as this say, don't try and call God down from heaven or back up from the abyss. He's already come back up from there, and he's staying in heaven until he decides to come back for us all. So that the word is near you, it's in your mouth. Now, some people in the past have said that I can preach quite well. Oh, yeah, he's a good preacher, and so-and-so is a good, and T.D. Jakes is a good preacher. And do you know the best preacher in the world is? Undeniably, the best preacher in the world is you. Because until the word is in your mouth, then how often are you hearing it? Are you with me there? Look at the connection. Even Verizon doesn't have to get involved. Huh? No towers in that 4 inches. Are you with me? So therefore, faith comes by hearing. So when faith is coming out of your mouth, faith goes into your ear. And whoa, and you say it again. Whoa, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. So how important it is for each and every one of us to continue to read the word. We've got to. You'll never know true faith if you don't know what the Bible promises. All right, let's wrap this up quick. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. All right, let me just touch on this quickly. All of God's provision starts in the heart. So, for instance, say you want to be healed. Oh, God, that hurts. I'm not saying where or what. Oh, Lord, heal my arm. Oh, it's not any better. Oh, you're living by feelings, eh? I'll pray for you. Oh, you're living by feelings. Now, faith does not say what is there isn't there. Faith says what isn't there is there. Huge difference. So in other words, faith doesn't say, no, it doesn't hurt anymore. Faith says, God has healed me. So it starts in the heart. Now, I've got to touch on this one. I know I've been talking a lot about money lately, and a lot of you have been fed up with it. And God bless you. Handle it. Where do you think prosperity starts? Here? At work? With a promotion? No, let me tell you something. If you're broke now, earning $300 a week, you'll be broke when you earn $600 a week. And if you're broke earning $600 a week, you will be broke when you earn $1,000 a week. Because there's something wrong with the way you think. Are you with me there? So therefore, prosperity doesn't start in the wallet or the bank. It starts in the heart. And until you believe it by faith that my God will supply all your needs, until you believe it by faith that God wants to prosper you, then you're always going to struggle with money, even if you earn $10,000 a week. You'll be just as broke. Ask Conseco. Is that his name? Conseco. What's his first name? Dumb? Jose. Jose Conseco. How about the other guy? The guy with the funny nose. Jackson. The very same. Michael Jackson has earned more money than everybody in our county put together and still goes broke. Because of this. Come on, listen to me. Conseco went broke because of this. Don't know how many millions he's got. This is the problem. Money isn't the problem. Your heart is the problem. So as long as you believe you're poor, you will be poor for the rest of your life. I want a bat. Yeah, it's that Conseco thing, yeah. Excuse me, mother. Do you understand this? Why everybody fights about tithing is beyond my comprehension. Why everybody fights about giving to God is beyond me. It's his idea, not mine. It's to break the poverty mentality in us. I can't afford to tithe. Oh, God! Why did you say that? Anyway. Yeah, I get mad at spirits. Do you know the spirits of poverty that are in this room? They're not in me. They ain't in me. I want to encourage you, folks. Jesus wants to bless us. But until you get it here, You will never get it here. Never. Because you'll always find a way to spend it. The devil will always find a way to rob it. Always. This is America, for God's sake. You can't outthink this system. Doesn't the Bible say that the children of darkness are wiser than the children of light? We're the children of light. We're dumb compared with them. Come on, somebody help me. They connive ways to keep you broke. God, this is tough, man. You know, it's times like this that I really believe I can run through a wall. You know what I'm saying? By my God, I can run through a troop. By my God, I can leap over a wall. I really believe that. I really believe that if people would listen to the promises of God instead of the promises of our nation, which is the greatest nation in the world. So imagine if you live somewhere else. God, if you aren't up in America, can you imagine if you live somewhere else? Wow. Think about it, saints. Okay, healing begins in the spirit. Provision begins in the spirit. Restoration. You will never heal your marriage if you don't believe it. Go to all the marriage counseling you like. Waste of time. Take all the different classes and courses and read books. Waste of time. Until you believe that he will restore everything the thief has stolen from you. Until you believe it, it ain't going to happen. Till your heart says, Lord, I want every single one of my relationships to work. I want my marriage to be a success. I want my relationship with my mother to be a success. My relationship with my children, my daughter-in-laws. I want all of it, my relationship with everybody I know. I want it to work, and I believe it can. Now, I know I'm being dogmatic, but what do you expect? I ain't no pussycat. Now, come on, that was half funny. Dogmatic pussycat. Oh, Jesus. All right. Do you know what I'm fighting against tonight? I'm fighting against unbelief and a spirit that doesn't want you to understand what I'm saying. I'm not fighting against you. Don't take this personal. I love you guys. But you've been fooled for many, many years. And sometimes it takes something. I mean, some of you are actually asleep. How can you be asleep out of this? If I was preaching like this, I could imagine that, but... All right. I'm going to write the... Right, I'm going to finish this just on the brief. Faith is of the heart. Two, faith is unseen. Look at this beaut. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, while we look not at things which are seen, but things which are not seen, for the things that are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Isn't that doozy? Wow, that means that the Rocky Mountains and the Grand Canyon and the Himalayas are actually temporal. That means that all those stars and the sun and the moon that I look at every day are actually temporal. But that that's not seen is greater than that. Whoa. Come on, saints. Here's another one. Faith is substantial. It isn't some airy-fairy thing. That's why the scripture says, now faith is the substance. Now, let me just touch on this quickly. Somebody say, now faith is.
Now, faith is.
Now, not next week faith is, or tomorrow faith is, now faith is. Why? Because you can believe it now. And whatever you're believing for might come, but you can believe it now. So therefore, you may have an incurable disease, but you can say, now faith is. I am the Lord God that healeth thee. You see what I'm saying? You may not get it today because the scripture says in the book of Hebrews, by all faith and patience, you inherit the promise. With all faith and patience, you inherit the promise. But now faith is. I believe it. I believe God wants to restore my marriage. I believe it. I mean, really believe it. Faith, believe it. True faith, believe it. Not keep your fingers crossed, believe it. Believe it. With your heart and confess with your mouth. And then hold fast to a good confession and watch God do it, even if it takes a year or two. Are we okay? I've got to try and wrap this up. Thank God the clock fell off the wall. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence not seen. Now, this is something I'm gonna ask you next. Please, you got to get this. Hope believes God can do it. Faith believes God will do it. Now, that is a huge difference. Every person, every Anglican, every Presbyterian, every Baptist, every Pentecostal, everybody in the vineyard, every Catholic believes God can heal people. Hope. But faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith says God will do it. Hope says, oh, well, he can. How many times have you prayed for religious people? And say, oh, well, I don't pray for myself. There's so many people with so many needs. What a stinking, rotten, demonic cop-out. Huh? Get healed, for God's sake. Be well. Be strong. Be in a position. What do you want? Do you want to be poor or have enough money to help the poor? They're the only two options. Everything else is selfishness. Come on, guys, help me tonight. You want to be poor or you want to have enough money to help the poor? I want to have enough money to help the poor, for God's sake. I don't want to be poor. I've tried that. Been there, done that. Do I like it? No. I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like. Do you like that open the bill feeling? I don't like that. I don't suffer from that anymore. Wendy says, oh, we got so-and-so on the credit card. What we got in the account? Click, click, click. Yeah, fine, pay it. That's it. Are you okay? Hope believes God can do it. Faith knows God will do it too. Four, faith is personal. I'm saying that because 2 Corinthians 1:24 says this, not that we have dominion over your faith, but are fellow workers of your joy, for by faith you stand. I'm going to say this. There's nothing anybody can do to stop your faith except you. I can arrest you. I can throw you in prison. I can tie you up with duct tape. I can do all kinds of things to restrict your body and your flesh. But nobody can get at your spirit unless you give them permission. If you give them permission, well, faith is personal. Romans 14:12 says each of us has to give account of himself before God. I just want to say this quickly. Belonging to a church does not make you saved. A tradition does not make you saved. And your mother's faith will not save you. If any of you were baptized into a church as a child, trust me, you did not get saved then. I'm not picking on any particular church. Because most churches are the same, right? Infant baptism. Which I was infant baptized in a Presbyterian church, my mum tells me, okay? So, somebody said to somebody last week, you know, why don't you come to church on Saturday night? Said, oh, I'm a Catholic. They said, well, I'm a German. Because some churches are a culture, not a faith. They're a culture. Ask a Jew. Ask a Jew. Is Judaism a culture or a religion? Oh, a culture. Oh, a religion. Zionism is a culture. It's all the same. Episcopalians? Lutherans? Oh, I'm a Lutheran. I'm English. Nice to meet you. You know what I'm saying? It's a culture. Saying you're a Lutheran is like saying I play rugby. But do you believe? Do you have true faith? So remember, your mother's faith won't save you. Okay, last thing I want to say, and that is this. Faith is a verb. James 2:17 says, so faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone would say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith with your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Okay? So close on this thought. I'm just thinking about this. Jesus in the religious synagogue, the guy with the withered hand. Do you remember the story? Remember what he told him? Stretch it out. He said, stretch it out. Show me your faith. Stretch it out. Woman with the issue of blood. Daughter, your faith. Not my faith. Your faith has made you whole. So that's why if you got pains, you believe God is healing it, try and stretch it out. You get me? Try and work with it. Say, okay, you Lord, you heal me. Or you're broke. Stretch what you got. Do something with what you got other than spend it on yourself. Work with it. Show me your faith. Not me personally. And so I want to encourage you. And we'll go over this again for several weeks. But I want to do tonight. And we've got no keyboardist. Elaine's not here, is she? What I want to do, I'm going to dismiss everybody except those. This is really the whole point that I really want to reiterate tonight, and that's this. Do you know how many of you will walk out here tonight and forget everything I said? How many of you will walk out here tonight and try and academically critique what I said? Or how many of you will walk out here tonight still with a spirit of confusion to try and stop you getting the wisdom and the understanding that God wants you to have? And that is my biggest concern. So tonight, what I'm going to do is by faith, promising you nothing except the Bible says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Think about that for a promise. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. I want to pray for people tonight. And I want to pray for people who are struggling with a sound mind. Now, of course, that would be embarrassing for you to walk up here and say, I got a sound mind. I know what ADD is. D, D, D. I got more D's than most on my ADD. How hard it is for me to focus and concentrate. That's why I can't sleep at night. My wife's going, oh, golf balls. Oh, yeah, Afghanistan. Oh, Jell-O. Yeah. What about the price of bread in China? Oh, isn't it wonderful that Manchester United. Oh, look. That's what my head does when I put my head down at night. And for about 45 minutes, it's going, bing, it's like a pinball machine. Ever since I was a young boy. Now, that was really good. No, I can't carry on. But that's what most people are like. They're like Tommy in their faith. Deaf, dumb, and blind. Come on. Deaf, dumb, and blind. Because they don't go for wisdom and understanding. They don't let this mind come in them that was also in Christ Jesus. And they flounder around in the kingdom, lost, confused, unfulfilled, because they're too rotten, lazy to get understanding. So, Elaine, being as you reappeared, my dear, please play something on the keyboard. By faith, please come forward. And together, let's believe that the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened. The Bible says, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made them both. And he's not talking about these. He's talking about the hearing ear and the seeing eye in the spirit. So I'm going to dismiss everybody. We have coffee and cake and thank God for Panera Bread supplying some goodies. God's given us great favor in this city. I'm going to pray. Let's all stand. But I want to pray for you who need the spirit of wisdom and understanding. I need you to come up, and I'm going to pray with you tonight. And I trust that you will begin a new path of understanding. Father, I just want to bless my brothers and sisters tonight. I want to thank you, Lord. Because I personally am tired of the limitation that I feel that I put on myself as far as my understanding. I want to understand so much more, and I want to see great faith in our house. I want to see great faith among our people. Faith for salvation, faith for reconciliation, faith for healing, faith for finances. Father, I bless you tonight. So Lord, as we gather together, we're going to agree that we're going to let this mind be in us that was also in Christ Jesus. And those that need to go, we love you, we bless you. Thank you for coming. Everything I said tonight was intended to help you move into stronger things in God. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Grace and peace be multiplied to all of you through the knowledge of Him who's called you by His glory and His virtue. Amen.